case you didn't know, it is Testimony Sunday. I'll give you a few minutes to prepare. Maureen's going to kick us off with testimony. But before we do that, I just want to remind you of a couple things. Keep it short and sweet so that there's time for lots of people to testify. And you know, a testimony doesn't have to be something that God has already accomplished. It can be something that you're in the middle of that may be a struggle, but God is there present with you, working through you. So don't think you don't have a testimony. Everybody has a testimony. And think outside the box in the sense that it doesn't have to be, I've come to the end and God's done this thing and it's been amazing, yay. But there's also the testimony. I remember one year, Kim Bolt, when he was here, he led us in a consolation and desolation service on New Year's Eve day, where people would share their struggles. And at the end, we would pray for them. And actually, we'd repeat a verse over them, actually. Does anyone else remember this? Was anyone else here for this? Interesting. Okay. Well, it happened. We would say, pardon me, wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Because how many know we're not always at the place where God's done something for us? Very often in my experience, we're in that waiting place. We're waiting for God to do something for us. And that's a testimony as well, the faithfulness in waiting. So I encourage you to share either kind of testimony this morning. Maureen, can you come up and start us off, please?
Go, Maureen! Yay. Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, and to rest upon his promise, and to know that, says the Lord, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust you. I have proved you more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust you more. Amen. My name is Maureen, and this is my home church. I have a lot to say, but I will cut it short so that others will testify, but I just made a bullet because I told myself this shouldn't cross over to New Year. Amen. So my testimonies are not crossing over. So nearing the end of my program at Regent College, I had questions with Regent College and some schools. Once you complete, you wouldn't get work permit. So you have to still be doing school or you go back home. But we had known that this whole journey of coming to Canada was just God. So we sought his face as to what to do. So at a point, we weren't seeing clearly anything. And I wasn't also prepared to do further school. And I told God that I think I need a break from school and get settled into whatever you want to have me do. Yeah, so my husband and I, we decided that we will go back home when my program is done. I will just go back home and trust God that he will open another way to Canada for me to come in the future. But on the 13th of April, we were praying. That was last year, 2022. And God told us that the way forward was not to go back home, but he was going to open a door that will lead to me getting a job and everything here. So we trusted and we held on to that word, even though it wasn't easy, but we just trusted. And in July that year, as God has said, he was specific that in July he was going to open that door. So in July, that was when Talitha Kum opened this. The executive director was going on mat leave, and they needed somebody to step in. And I looked at all the things they were looking for, and I said, no, I don't think I qualify. And my husband was like, I mean, God will qualify you some way, somehow. Just put in the application, and I did. And interestingly, 5 people, I was the one that was picked for that interim position. And I held that for 4 months. And after 4 months, immigration-wise, I couldn't work again for 8 months because I was nearing the end of my program. So 8 months, I had no job, but God amazingly took care of me, paying rent and feeding me through church and friends and loved ones, and I give him all the praise for that. And at the same time, I needed to also move from, as a house. I lived in a community house, and we had to let people know that we will be leaving and what the next transition phase looked like. And I told them I'll be leaving in August, not knowing where I was going to go, but I told them I'll be leaving in August so that it will help the whole arrangement of the transition. And amazingly, by God's grace, when I was at Talitha Kum, one of the things that they were very much passionate about, because it's a non-profit organization, they resort so much on funding. So they said it's a critical component of what they do. So I prayed that God, may you bring the funds and may you open doors. So as I write grant, I was praying for all that. And by God's grace, you all know the story. Most of you know the story how Redemption Church played a significant role in Talitha Kum's life presently. And they were able to open 2 new portfolios that time I had left. But they reached out again. And as I speak to you now, I work there as their outreach and family enhancement coordinator. Kind generosity of what Redemption did, and also what the other donors also did. But to say that God just made a way, as he said, and he opened the way, and my immigration documents also came on my birthday. And that was just so mind-blowing for me. I was like, Jesus, you know what? I think you really want me in this place and in this time. And so I praise you for that. And when I was working temporarily, I lived in Carisdale, and I was commuting from Carisdale to Coquitlam. And whenever I get to Joyce Collingwood SkyTrain, it's like, I don't want to go further. I don't want to take the bus down to Carisdale. So I started praying to God for accommodation. And some of you know, and you helped me pray. And I was just so specific, and I told God, I need a place. Redemption is my home. And I don't want to live in Coquitlam because that would be a very long commute. So I need a place in between job and in between work, so that on Sunday it will be easy to be on the 99, and on weekdays it will be easy to be on the SkyTrain to Coquitlam. And God answered that prayer right at the Joyce Collingwood SkyTrain. At Collingwood Village, I live in one of the buildings, Works Gate. It's just a minute walk to SkyTrain. And he did it, and the rent was very affordable, what I can afford. And I thank God for not only giving work, but also giving a place to live. My last testimony happened on the 17th of December, when we had the African Christmas service. I walked to church and immediately I was a bit anxious. So I started praying, "What is it happening? Lord, help me." And I heard in my spirit fire. And I said, "God, what is this fire all about?" And so I said a quick prayer. So I wanted to go back home. But I said, "Look at the time. Holly needs me to be in rehearsal. And the church is starting soon. I cannot go back home." So what I heard was that I have taken care of everything and it will be for a testimony. Church, when we closed from, when I left this place and we were going home together with my friends, I had a text message from my apartment sending me pictures of my oven and the smoke, like everything, the place almost caught fire. The place almost caught fire, and we walked there and it was just so smoky, and the fire department had come to intervene. They sent pictures of that, and my mind was, I was just thinking, how could it have happened? But the pictures that they took for us, when I was turning off the oven, it did not turn off completely. So putting the food back, the food and everything burnt like ashes. So they brought that out and they said that, "You know what, you may have to replace the stove and or just repair whatever. But for the report that we've had, the only way out is for you to replace the stove, and it's going to cost you $820. And I said, "God, I think I just record everything. And I remembered at some point it happened in the house before, but I didn't report. I turned off the oven and a friend came and realized that something was still smelling, like something burning. And one friend witnessed that I turned off the oven. And so it had this tendency of not turning off completely. So I told them that you may have to come and look at this because there is a real problem in this place." So they came and they assessed the whole situation. And they said, the electrician and the technical guy said that the thing is faulty. So they will replace it at their own cost. And they did replace that at their own cost. But praise and thanks be to God that the place did not catch fire. Everything was intact. Everything. Just the stove and the food that got burnt. But thanks be to God. We are alive today. We praise him and we give him all the glory for all that he's done. Amen.
Thank you for sharing that. And I'm wondering if there's anyone out here, there, out there, out here, wherever, that has a need like a job, like a some kind of material need. And I'm going to ask Maureen if you'll pray. So if you have that, can I ask you to please, like, whether it's you need a job, you need material possession, provision in some way, please stand, and Maureen's going to pray for you, just real quick.
God of all grace and comfort, we just praise you. You are present to your children. Indeed, Lord, we sought you and you came through for us. Lord, I lift everyone standing before you. I pray that you come through for them. Jehovah Jireh is your name. You are our provider. Lord, in whatever area they are trusting you, whether job, whether accommodation, whether immigration documents, whatever it is. Father, I pray that you will come through. You are a miracle working God. You are able to make a way where there is no way. And so, Father, I pray that you make a way for them. May you cause their testimonies to be full. May you satisfy the longing of their heart, Jesus. We trust you and we know that they will be coming to stand here, giving praise to your name, testifying to what you have done and what you alone can do. We give you praise and glory in Christ your holy name. Amen.
Amen. All right, don't be shy, people. Someone, oh yes, come Arnold, please.
Thank you. We do have a family tradition of testifying at the end of the year of what God has done in the outgoing year. And I was very happy when we saw that today is Testimony Sunday. Look who's tagging along. All right, I was just seeking permission from my CEO. So there isn't really any specific one thing we want to talk about. We just want to testify of God's goodness. Like Monica was sharing, like it's not always completed, done, everything is, the victory is won. Sometimes it's an ongoing battle. Sometimes it might even be like things that feel like a loss. Like our family did experience loss this year. There was someone died this December. It's almost like a recurring thing now. Every year there's someone dying, and I do feel a lot for my mom, who she's basically the oldest member of our extended family right now, and she's not even 70. And there's a lot of young people dying. Like, so that is really sad, but still very grateful to God for giving her the strength to carry on. Every time it happens, I'm always thinking, like, how is she coping? But somehow, God gives her this grace to just keep smiling, keep believing, and keep trusting. So we are very grateful that it hasn't broken her. It's happened a lot, and we are believing God that he will put a stop to that. And for our own family right here, we are very grateful to God for the provisions this year. We many times it always feels like, yeah, we don't know what's coming next. Like it's almost like everything is unfinished. My PhD is unfinished. My wife, her career path is unfinished. Like we don't really know what comes next. But God has just been faithful at every turn in the road. Like there's never been a time where we're like, oh wait, we don't know what to do right here, like we are totally lost. Before we get there, God has sorted out the problem, and he's just been very consistent is what I really want to share. God has been very consistent. Like I said, it's not always big victories. This year we became permanent residents of Canada way ahead of schedule. I mean, how we were thinking about it. And there's just so many little blessings. My father-in-law, Gozie's dad, has been sick for a while, and we're thinking of how to get him treatment. Toward the end of the year, we were lucky to put the funds together, and he went to India and had surgery. It was really tough, you know, because like spinal surgery, the whole was really complicated, but at some point, I was like, how would he go back? How would he cope with the flight and all that? But God just did it, and he went back home by himself. Everything we were really troubled about, God sorted it out. He went back home, and he's recovering. And we believe God that his recovery will be complete. So I just wanted to share this, that our God is faithful in the mountains, in the valleys, and in the plains of our lives. So he's not a God of the good times only. He's also the God of the bad times. So if you feel like there's some struggles in your life, things that are not quite well sorted, it's not a time to run away from God. It's a time to run to him. Because seriously, where would you go? So we just want to thank God for his faithfulness, and may his name alone be praised. In Jesus' name, amen.
Paul.
Thanks, Monica. Hi. I will share with you a bit of what my own experience has been this past year and semester. I'm gonna share an image that I think speaks to the heart that I've received illustrating that time. And I'll end with an encouragement. I won't take too long. Just trying to give you an outline. This year, this semester, in fact, has been one of the, I'd say, the hardest year of my life. Since I awoke from my coma 10 years ago after I received a severe brain injury. And I'll spare you all the details of what's happened in that time. But this semester, in particular, has been so difficult. Some things that have been going on. I have been a spiritual health intern at St. Paul's Hospital, and so I meet with patients and I care for them spiritually, and that's a great privilege, but I've had to learn to draw boundaries so that I don't take on the people's suffering onto myself, because that'd be easy to do. I've been wearing more hats in ministry and work and school and everything this semester than ever before, and so that's been challenging. Relational issues have appeared in my life that, again, have been truly heartbreaking, that has been hard. And I've discovered that I live with trauma from my car accident 10 years ago. I had no idea that I was traumatized, but I am, and I carry that trauma with me. All those elements have happened to me this past semester, and it's been so hard. And within that, I've rejoiced because God has allowed me to participate with him in his sufferings. And he's formed my own heart to be a heart of compassion and to be truly transformed and to know Christ. Like, I love that. Through the suffering of this last semester for me, I've known Christ and I've drawn close to him. And I'm so grateful for what he's done in me through this time. So that's a little bit of background. I want to share with you a quick illustration that can speak to our hearts, has spoken to my heart, and I hope can speak to yours, of what Christ could be doing. This is the image that often in my life I've climbed many mountains. I've gone up the mountain and I've hiked, and you look out and you see the beautiful vistas, and it's exciting, and you meet people on the way, and you're hiking together. This September, I came to the mountain, and I did something I'd never did before, because I saw a sign pointing down and saying this way. And I've realized that this past semester is not a hike up the mountain, but I've learned to go down into the caves and to go through the mountain. And I don't do that. I've never done that. It's been so new. And you show up with your like runners and shorts, and you're like, you have not the proper equipment. You don't even have a flashlight. You know, you're going in there, it's dark. And usually on the mountain, you can like tell where you're going. You can look out and see and reflect on where you've been with the perspective. In the cave, everything looks the same. And the people that you meet in the mountain are in darkness and suffering, and there's no light. And you sit with them in that pain, which for me has been a bit of my work at the hospital, you know? And I just have seen that illustration as helpful for interpreting my own experience. But I think now I have gotten to the bottom, the deepest part of that cave, and I'm still there. But as I'm coming out of the cave, and as we're coming out of the cave, as a church, we've learned to work some of the equipment, and we've learned how to like manage things. We've made relationships so that we're actually doing it together, and like it's not new anymore. And I think this will be a change in season. January will bring a change in season where we can move forward, And truly, when we come out of the mountain, I think that there will be a time for harvest. But I hope that encourages you and speaks to you, because it's been an encouragement for me. And I feel like this next semester, I feel like I know a bit of what I need and what I need to do and who I need to walk with. And the Lord is good and faithful, and he has been in everything, all the suffering, all the joys, all the pain. He's with you, and he'll never leave you. Draw close to him. Amen. Thank you.
Do you want to pray for us in this next semester?
Sure.
Okay. Monica just asked me if I can pray for you, so for us. I encourage you to receive this prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise your name, and we thank you for the privilege that you have called us, that you have blessed us, and you've also allowed us to participate in your suffering. Lord, for this world, as our hearts are broken, we are made into the image of Christ, and to know you is the best thing that we could ever receive, and to live in you as you live in us. So Lord, in our brokenness and in our giftings and whatever we have, I pray that you would use this next season to knit us together and create wholeness in our lives, that our hopes can be set onto you and your gospel for this world, God, that we would have no fear. Give us all hope with clear eyes, seeing your glory and being transformed by the very sight of you. Help us to know you and love you. Thank you for this church. Thank you for this church. Thank you for Daniel Kang, the new pastor who's going to come in March, God. And in this season, we move forward with confidence, knowing that the harvest is coming. We worship you, God. Praise your name. Amen.
Amen. Can I just pray for you? And Father, we lift up Paul to you. We thank you for him. We thank you for this brother of ours. God, we thank you for the gifts that you've placed in him. We thank you for the way he serves you with his whole heart, Father. We thank you for the way that you are healing him and showing him more about himself that's going to make him more free, Lord. God, you are amazing. You are amazing. And so I pray for this next semester for Paul that it would be lighter than it has been, Father, that as he's coming out of the cave and out of the mountain, God, that it would be a time of blessing and a time of real fruitfulness for him, that he would be able to see, that he would be able to see evidence of the gifts that he has used for your glory, Lord. Fruit from that, God. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Trish is coming.
Annyeonghaseyo. Good morning. Jae Yeoreumin, Trish입니다. My name is Trish. In case you don't know, I'm planning a trip to Korea, and I feel like God has called me to go to Korea. And I'm in the midst of, I guess, preparation stage and also waiting. And it's not always the easiest place to be when you're preparing and you're waiting and you're like excited, but at the same time, it's all this waiting. And then there's the nerves and they're like, oh, well, what if I'm not going to be good at teaching English when I get to Korea? What if I get up in front of the class and I'm like really bad at this? And so, then there's like I have a cat and I've had this cat for 12 years and can I take him with me? And that might not be a possibility, so what do I do? And so it's been a bit of a struggle. I'm also working and going to school. And this coming semester is going to be really super busy because I've got a practicum and class and Korean lessons and work. So a little intense, so I'm going to need a bit of energy, so I would ask you all to pray for me to get through this semester somehow. But this morning in my devotion time, I'm struggling with leaving my cat behind, so it's like I've had him for almost 13 years now. And so, but I have this image of God taking my cat in his arms and saying, "It's okay, I'll take care of your cat too." I know he'll take care of me, like, I'm not really so worried about that. Although I have been encouraged by, like, Maureen's story and all the things that have to do with immigration and moving to another country, which is still a little bit scary. And I trust God with all of that. But I've got all these emotions about my cat and leaving my cat behind if I have to do that. But if I take him with me, that could be more stressful for him. And so I'm just like, I don't know what to do. Anyways, that's where I'm at. So I praise God that he has everything under control, even in the midst of my emotional difficulties.
Thanks. Thanks for sharing.
Father, I thank you that you care about our fur friends. God, I thank you that you care about every single little detail of our lives. And I thank you for Trish. I thank you that she listens to you and that she hears you calling her to Korea. And that call doesn't come as an easy thing. Your call, Jesus, didn't come as an easy thing. There were costs to it. But God, you have given her this beautiful picture of you taking care of her cat. I pray that when those emotions come up around it, God, that you would remind her of that. Remind her that you've got the kitty too. You've got her, but you've got the kitty. And Lord, I don't pretend to know whether she's supposed to take it or not. She'll know that when the time comes, Father. You'll orchestrate everything just the way that you always do. And I pray for courage for Trish. I pray for peace for Trish. And I pray against the lies of an enemy who would come and say, "You can't teach English. You can't do this. That's just the enemy, and we rebuke you, Satan, in Jesus' name." And hear the voice of your Father saying, "If I call you, I'm going to equip you, you know? So no worries. You got this." Okay? Amen. Okay, I think we have time for one more. Would you like to come up? And then we'll have some more worship.
I'll be really short. My name is Julia. I am Paul's sister. I just wanted to share that, well, something that's kind of difficult to share. I've been in the psych ward 4 times. And by the grace of God, I've been out for 5 years. And I have been at a part-time job at the church as a custodian for 2 years. And I wouldn't be here without Jesus. That's
so great for you. Can I put my hand on you?
Father, thank you. Thank you for this testimony of your grace. Thank you for Julia. Father, I thank you for the gifts that you have for her and in her, Lord. God, I thank you for the healing that you've done in her, that you're continuing in her. Father, I thank you for the years that you're going to restore to her. God, you are a good, good, good father. And this is who you are and what you do. So I pray your blessing on Julia. I pray that you would continue to fill her with your peace and your joy and your love. I pray that, God, your voice would be the loudest voice in her head. I pray against an enemy in Jesus' name. I pray a hedge of protection around her mind and around her body. Father, I thank you for this beautiful, beautiful person and this beautiful, beautiful testimony, and that you are a God of all power and authority, and you do set people free. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. I love Testimony Sunday. I could sit here and listen to this. I could listen to each one of you, because like I said, everybody has a testimony. And it's so encouraging to hear what God is doing in each of our lives, even if we're not, like, you know, at the finish line yet, and none of us are, because none of us are dead yet. You know, we're on a journey, different parts of the journey, some on the mountain, some in the valley, and some in between. So just know that we have a good God. And keep pressing in, as Arnold said, when things get tough, it isn't the time to isolate and turn away. It's the time to press in further.